I'm Jim Nichols, and this is the Life with Grace and Peace podcast. Thank you for choosing to spend a little bit of your week with me. This is a podcast where I share thoughts on life. Really, it's about the life abundant that Jesus offered his followers in John 10:10. Those followers would take the Jesus kingdom message wherever they went. And many of the letters we have include the phrase grace and peace, a greeting certainly, but also more than that, a way of living abundant. And so I'm looking for ways to live with grace and peace. And this podcast is a place to share a few of the ways in which I'm growing. So again, I'm thankful that you're joining me on this journey, and I'm honored to spend these moments together. My prayer is that as we journey along together, we will sense the guiding presence of Holy Spirit as we all walk deeper into the life of grace and peace. The Lord is King. He is robed in majesty. Indeed, the Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. The world stands firm and cannot be shaken. Your throne, O Lord, has stood from time immemorial. You yourself are from everlasting past. The floods have risen up, O Lord. The floods have roared like thunder. The floods have lifted their pounding waters. But mightier than the violent raging of the seas, mightier than the breakers on the shore, the Lord above is mightier than these. Your royal laws cannot be changed. Your reign, O Lord, is holy forever and ever. Psalm 93, a royal praise. One of the confusing moments of Jesus' trial is when Pilate turns to the crowds and says, "I find no fault in this would-be king." It's a part that seems hopeful, as if Jesus is about to be released. But then the crowds, they change their tactics and they begin to scream, "We have no king but Caesar." The irony of this crowd shouting for the authority of Caesar is beyond crazy. But it was the statement that changes trial into sentencing. The crowd says that if Pilate releases Jesus, then the governor is no friend of Caesar's. Well, being a friend of Caesar, the king of the civilized world, was possibly the most important designation any leader needed in order to remain in the good graces of Rome. The nation of Rome had just lived through a violent, not a friend of Caesar's, uprising, and to have your allegiance questioned was to have yourself move from trial to sentencing. I don't know what it's like to live with a king or queen. Several years ago, I was invited to watch the Queen of England give her Christmas Day address. I was told that most of the nation tunes in to hear her send her greetings, and I was mesmerized. I know friends who are equally gripped by the weddings and birth announcements of royals. And while we don't have coronations here, we do have inaugurations, and they seem to be a pretty big deal for those in authority. Over and over in Scripture, we read words similar to what we find in Psalm 93. God is repeatedly described as the King of the universe, whose majesty and glory dwarfs any would-be imposter, any imposter who sits on a man-made throne. Other kings think they have authority, but it is God who holds the world firm, whose might is greater than even the most powerful storm. This God has no need of armies and weapons, for God's very arm is all the strength that's needed. Now, if I'm honest, I don't quite know what to do with this language. With no king and with the ability to vote out a president or any other elected official, I don't have a long-standing fear that a leader could ignore my voice. It's actually having a voice, the ability to make a difference and vote, that is our real power. God, as my king, has always felt a little more poetic than reality. And I fear that I suffer as a result. I love that the only political system ever mentioned in Scripture begins with, "I am the Lord your God, and you shall have no other gods but me." Call it a theocracy if you wish, but even that can envision some monarch who rules with some mighty heavy hand. But those words of authority are much more invitational than they are words of warning and retribution. This is a God who wants to be close, wants to be your God, not a being who rules at a distance or through a puppet high priest or earthly king. That would come. But this God wants to be close, not just to the nation, but to us as a people. The favorite description of God right now is that of love. God is love. It's biblical, pops right out of 1 John 4. But I wonder if the picture of our God of love is tinted by an other godly description of love. The tint of love we are most familiar with is an unbending acceptance of my choices, no matter what. Is that really love? The end of Psalm 93 speaks of God being holy forever and ever. It's verse 5, New Living Translation. This may be provocative, but I'm beginning to question if you can have real love without holiness. Is love without some standard of purity really love at all? The fact that God is described as king, robed in holiness, glory, and majesty is something that ought to make me pause. Isaiah was so stunned by the majesty of God that he felt like a dead man. It's Isaiah 6. Throughout the history of Israel, we see what happens when God's authority is treated contemptuously. We see when a soft anything-goes love is embraced over a holy and holy or complete loving God. If you don't remember, the rejections are called rebellion, and rebellion is equal to divination and witchcraft. Again, I can't comprehend what it's like to live under the rule of a king, and I'm thankful for the freedoms I live under and the choices we have to go to the polls and elect our officials. So embracing God as king takes work on my part. I'm easily swayed to my own preferences and wants rather than being in awe of the majesty, glory, and holiness of God. And yet, when I choose to sit in this place of God's bigness, something amazing happens. When I submit me to the authority of the King of creation, I'm not just invited into some pomp and circumstance, but into knowing the personal, holy, or completely holy love of God. I'm invited to let the dark parts of me be consumed in the fire of God's beauty and glory. I'm invited to be more than my preferences and my selfish choices, by the way, which often aren't the best for me or for those I love. But when I find my way to the King who is the Lord our God, I am not treated as a subject or a spectator, but as a family member. Psalm 93 invites me to remember this King, who can't be pocketed and controlled, but who is unbounding in love for me. This storms of life are no match for his decree. The waves that rock my day are nothing compared to the majesty of his whisper. His commands and laws aren't subject to my whims and my unholy love, but are bound invitations to be more than a pauper with a tyrant king, but a co-heir of the kingdom, adopted into royalty and made pure as he is. The eternal reigns clothed in majesty. He is dressed in power. He has surrounded himself with strength. He has established the world and will never be toppled. Your throne was established from the beginning of the world, O God, and you are everlasting. The waters have risen, O Eternal One. The sound of pounding waves is deafening. The waters have roared with power, more powerful than the thunder of mighty rivers, more powerful than the mighty waves in the ocean is the Eternal King on high. Your teachings are true. Your decrees are sure. Sacredness adorns your house, O Eternal One, forevermore. I hope you'll join me next week as we begin a new month and a new focus. During the month of May, I'm going to be interacting with one of my favorite authors and teachers, Henry Nouwen. Henry was a priest and brilliant professor who traded all the trappings of his success to work with severely handicapped people in Toronto. From speaking across the globe to helping a young man clothe and feed himself, well, that was a deeply humbling experience from Henry. And it invited him to know the love of Jesus in a way that has transformed countless lives, including mine. So I'm looking forward to sharing what I'm learning from Henry throughout May. As we anticipate the celebration of Ascension and Pentecost, I'm hoping to have a guest share why these celebrations are so important for us today. But that'll be later in the month, and it's something I'm looking forward to. In the meantime, I hope if you've enjoyed this podcast, you'll share it with a friend. Know that as you go throughout this week, the holy love of our King has called you to be His and has invited you to know the glory and majesty of the One who stands over our storms. May the assurance that this word gives us be all that we need. May God's holy love, the peace of our Lord Jesus, and the power of Holy Spirit be yours as we continue to live a life with grace and peace.